B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
I tried to call her.
Tim Peeler thought he was calling coyotes.
Instead of them, him.
He got something that frightened even the self-proclaimed mountain man.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
It scared me.
Sergeant Mark Self didn't see the creature this time.
There was a 8 to 10 foot hairy man-looking person.
But remembers the stories of a Sasquatch when he was a kid.
Was killing some animals, breaking in chicken houses, killing chickens.
It's the same M.O. that Tim says he saw for himself. The Sasquatch going after his dogs.
I come out here and rough talked him and run him off.
Got him to leave, called 911, then the creature came back.
And I said, get away from here. Get. Get. And he went right back out that path again.
Deputies filed a suspicious person report, and Tim is still recalling the details.
He looked like he had six fingers on each hand.
He had beautiful hair. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios is where we will be in just a matter of weeks, as they are taking apart our studio in Dorchester. So we are broadcasting from around New England today.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch us on Twitch to see John's beautiful office. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Simply follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. And there you have it.
No computers or anything. Like, now the studio is barren. It's just basically the console, which we all sat at. Oh, yeah, there's a picture of it right there.
Look at that.
Yeah, there's like all of the electronics have been removed outside of the televisions for the... Yep, that's right. Are you going to throw those away? Like, what are they going to do with those big TV things? Or those go to the new studio for...
It's like a garage sale. Everything must go, you know?
Those TVs are worth like 5 cents.
I was about to say, like, you know, it's funny. I've been looking for the last time I bought a new TV was in 2014. And so I think that there's something wrong with my streaming now, where like the streaming comes in at a rate that my TV can't handle, because there's a lot of burping when I'm trying to watch something off of my Apple TV box or whatever that is. And so I've been trying to buy a new one, and it's just, I might be getting like five times the quality of a television for half the price that I paid like 8 years ago. It's insane.
Oh, absolutely. It's what it's all about.
And it's, like, light as hell, too. Like, the new ones are like, almost like they're made out of plastic. They don't even seem real. Like, this one that I was looking at, they said weighs, I think it's, like, 21 pounds. And it's, like, a 60-inch, like, big-screen TV, and it's, like, 20 pounds. So, I mean, it just seems like those old-school ones used to be massive and super... Even the flat ones were, like, really heavy. But, yeah, it is insane just how, like, year after year, everything gets cheaper and better. Cars the same way. Like, if you don't buy a car for 5 years, all of a sudden you're blown away by the technology and how far it's advanced.
Now's a good time to ask. Speaking of cars, Fred, any update?
It is apparently shipped. I should call the dealership today. They have not contacted me. I should call the dealership and ask about when my car will be there.
Because I see them everywhere now. Now I see Broncos everywhere. They're all over the place.
There's one at where I play golf. So there was one there. So
there you go.
Very big tires.
You got to take the doors off. You have to. It looks. Those things look rad when you take the doors off and the top off. They look awesome.
That's true. But that seems like a labor-intensive thing that I won't be doing.
Apparently not with the Bronco. I guess they make it easy to do so. You have to just unhook one like little electrical thing into the door, and then you lift it and move it to the side.
Yeah, I'm sure it's as easy as that. I'm sure it's something I'll be able to do lickety-split. Because when I think of myself, I think of, good old mechanically inclined Fred T. That's
right. Remember when you tried to put, was it a paddleboard that you put on top of the car?
I just gave up and sold the paddleboard.
11-foot stand-up paddleboard.
You have to give me credit, though, because I got a paddleboard before they manufactured them on the mainland. Ooh. I got a paddleboard. My first paddleboard I had to buy from Hawaii.
Yep.
And whenever I took it out, people would go, what is that? Like, what is that thing? What are you doing?
You were really, one with the sea before it became cool to do so.
And I said, I go, whatever. If you want to talk about things that have gotten cheaper and lighter, the paddleboard I have at my parents' house, like Dan said, is like 10 feet, and it's heavy as hell. It's probably 50 pounds. And now they make them inflatable ones. Now they make them all kinds of crazy ways if you want to just bliss out and get nuts on the water.
There are maniacs here who paddleboard on huge waves. Like, it's one of those things where it's almost like just standing on a surfboard the entire time. And you'll see them, like, go and, like, ride these waves and stay on the paddleboard and stay standing the entire time. And then there's the guys now who have the... Remember that really horribly awkward Mark Zuckerberg video that came out where he had that surfboard that has got the... I don't know if it's like a hydro bar or something underneath it. But
it's as simple as it's an outboard motor, basically, on the bottom fin.
Okay.
Like on the back fin.
All right. Now, as dorky as the Zuckerberg thing looked, those things look pretty damn fun. Like I've seen
good
people
luck
actually,
getting on.
Well, I mean, that's, of course, you know, if you have any kind of, you know, ability to balance at all. I mean, just
because apparently you have to put it in the water and jump onto it from a dock and like turn it on.
So I saw a guy like fall in and then he was able to pull himself up onto it almost like you're getting out of a pool without busting his ass. And I was just imagining myself in that situation trying to pull myself up on a paddleboard, much less one that's, you know, got the motor and stuff underneath it without just constantly busting my ass trying to do so.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, they're not, those aren't the size of paddleboards. Those are the size of like really small surfboards. So, yeah, I don't know how he got back up on it.
It's called a hydrofoil?
Yeah,
that might be it, yeah.
Yeah, because I looked at, when I saw it, I was like, oh, I wonder if I should get one for the lake.
$12,000.
And then, they're you know, over $10,000, so that was a big no.
God.
But out of curiosity, I just wanted to see how you got on. And, like, the instructions were, and this might have changed, so, you know, everyone can go crazy on me on Twitter, but this might have changed. But at the time, the instructions were that you had to kind of like get some momentum going, then jump on it and start cooking.
Yeah, this dude was with the surfers. Like, he was out there, you know, amongst the guys on the surfboards trying to catch waves about that far out. And when he would fall off, he was able to get himself back on. Now, it wasn't like as simple as, you know, you pull yourself up just like that. I mean, he had to kind of do the snake thing on top of it and then slowly stand up. But I mean, still, just the act of being able to pull yourself on and get to your feet and knees when there's like no momentum, it just, I imagine myself doing it and it would be an impossible task.
See, the thing is I could ride waves on a paddleboard pretty easily. The problem is getting out. Like getting out to the waves,
yeah.
Like paddling out there, it like against the current. Like I don't think I could do that. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they go over the waves with it. Like to catch a wave would be easy, but like once, but to paddle and stand and paddle like from and to get out there, I have no idea how they do it.
It's a nightmare. And as I was saying about surfing the other day, you know, it's not, everyone thinks, well, you know, surfing, you know, you get out there and the toughest part's getting up and actually catching a wave. No. The toughest part is once you get back to the shore, or not even the shore, but like near the shore, having to swim your way on top of the surfboard all the way back. First of all, it feels like your arms are going to fall off if you do that over and over and over again while pulling this big board while doing it where the waves are slapping you in the face. So there's that weird, uncomfortable spot where you can't catch the wave, but it's still huge enough to flip the board into your face.
You have to,
so
like, hold on to it, right? You have to stop paddling and hold on to it. Yeah.
Did they teach you to duck dive?
What do you mean?
Okay, so I can't believe they didn't teach you this. So what they do, what you do is, you, like John said, you grab onto the board and then you dip it into the wave.
Yeah.
So, like, the wave crashes over you.
They taught that, but that doesn't always work because, obviously, when you're a beginner, you haven't exactly mastered the art of the duck dive. No. What usually happens is you go, oh, crap, and it's too late, and then the board slaps into your teeth, and you flip off, and, of course, you have to go fish the board back again, and hopefully there's not someone behind you. And then there's, of course, the people who, you know, don't understand basic, I guess, traffic laws in the fact that you'll be up, you know, surfing, and you'll realize that there are other people who are right in your lane of where you'll be surfing. Like, and listen, sometimes it's just people who are at the beach who are swimming out there and they just want to body surf or do whatever. So, I mean, it's not like you have any sort of right of way, but just avoiding any kind of I'm going to nail somebody in the face with my surfboard if I catch this wave is also a massive headache. It's just way more difficult than just catching a wave. And I admire people who know how to do it. It can do it fine. But it's a nightmare of a sport.
That's why they try locals only, man. No howlies going out there, not knowing how to duck dive. Mm-hmm. So did you guys beat the heat yesterday?
Oh, it's not like hot here. Yeah. I mean,
what?
It's always 10 degrees cooler in the summer and 10 degrees hotter in the winter.
Yeah, I played 18 holes yesterday.
Oh, how'd that go?
It was miserable. I mean, it was too hot.
I'm thinking maybe, you know, hole 10 or 11, you're like, oh, God, it's time to stop, right?
Yeah, I wanted to, but I didn't. And my friend, man. Here's how hot it was. My friend had a Yeti. Like, you know how everyone's very proud of their Yeti coolers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had a Yeti cooler that full of ice, and all the ice melted by the time we started playing golf. Wow. In a Yeti cooler, wow. The ice melted. It was that hot. It was, and then there was a time where it was just the two of us on the golf course. Like, I couldn't see anyone else, and it was, like, kind of creepy.
Oh.
Like, because we were, like, on, like, hole, what would it be, like, 14 or 15, which is, like, where the majority of the holes are around there. And I looked out, and there was no one around. And I was like, what are we doing?
There's only been one other time while that's happened to me where I showed up at a golf course like really early and teed off before all the 80-year-olds did and I had the course to myself, especially the back nine. You look around, so this is cool. It's good for a fast round. But I Fred was nice enough to invite me to play at his course, Rich, and it is wide open in some places.
Yeah,
so
like
you look around. You can see like six or seven holes around you as you stand there because it's flat. And, oh, my God, that's got to be creepy, especially middle of the day.
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, John. Rich, I don't think you would have. There was a tournament, like some, like, Italian tournament there that was golf in the morning and then bocce in the afternoon. I didn't obviously didn't play in it. It was golf in the morning, and it was called the Raphael. And one of the cup on nine was, like, quadruple the size, like the cup, the hole. Was like quadruple the size, and I don't know if like Raphael was a trickster, or so. I don't know what the deal was, but there was a hole. Have you ever experienced that where they make a hole like four times the size?
No, I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
Yes, I should have taken a picture, but then I thought, who would have cared? But yeah, it was like four times the size, and I don't know what the. All I know is the Raphael has something to do with Italy, and I don't know what it is if they were like, it's Raphael was a pixie trickster. I don't know like what the hell it is.
Weird.
I've never seen that. I've seen like a green of a hole. I've told you this before, a green of like the size of half an acre or an acre.
Yeah, but that's hard. That's no, like a police course.
That was a hole that I think it's Pine Hills that has like it's a par 6, 700-yard hole with a green the size of an acre.
Oh, that's
you know,
fun.
For 700 yards from the back. So, I mean, even playing forward, like at the Whites, you get maybe 50 yards. You know, it's just
right.
It's
so you have to hit a three wood like four times, right?
You hit it as far as you can, then you hit it as far as you can, and then you hit it as far as you can. And then you're still about 200 yards away.
Yeah. My game kind of fell apart in the back nine.
Understood.
Yeah, there was not a whole lot of accuracy once the And I went to bed last night, and my body was still, like, hot. Like, you know, I laid down, and I was still, like, radiating heat.
Did you hear about, like, what's been going on worldwide with this? Like, in London, one of the airports, they actually had some of the runways melt, and they couldn't land planes in London. And then there was that story that I think Dan or Mike had sent yesterday about how Pearl Jam was supposed to play in Vienna. Yeah. And because of the heat, and I guess there were, like, nearby fires and smoke because of the heat, that it effed up Eddie Vedder's throat, so he couldn't sing because it's so damn hot where they were playing.
Well, Dan gave us a story that they were covering bridges in this foil.
Like it was almost like aluminum foil, yeah.
Yeah, like a foil so that they wouldn't break down. So I wonder if we have hit... My friend and I were talking about this yesterday. That's right, friend. We were talking about this yesterday. One of my hundreds. Is this the end? And it wasn't like a depressing conversation, but have we hit like... Where, like, this is reality, and
where you
this
can't
is, like,
stop the, denying, like, what's going on with climate change. Where it's here.
We're at a point where there's, like, really no turning back, and this is what life is going to be like from now on. It was interesting. It's interesting to see. So I'm glad, Rich, that you didn't have to beat the heat.
No, did not have to. It's for some reason it's weird about, like, here. It's always like 10 degrees cooler.
Hey man, it's the ocean breeze.
Maybe that's the case. Now we have sharks all over the place, but it's a little bit different.
I'll take the trade off. I will. I'll take the 10 extra degrees for the sharks.
Axe got that wind, baby. Woo. That cool breeze.
Cool breeze.
That's what my
new boat named that. Cool breeze.
Oh no, you don't say. We could do a game. Is there really a boat named this?
Cool breeze.
In fact, if you give me a day, I could do a game called "Is there really a boat named this?" All right, Rich, what's coming up with what happened last night?
Oh, the worst day of the sports year means we get the ESPYs.
If only it got a little political. I wish that they wouldn't not get. I was able to watch it twice. Turn it on twice. And one time I saw a completely failed joke from the woman from Saturday Night Live and Aaron Darnold. And the other thing I saw was a bunch of female athletes talking about women's stuff. And then the one woman at the end was like, I mean, come on, look at us. I mean, come on. She said, I mean, come on, three times. And I went, this has been rehearsed. This is not the best way to do this. But hey, I'm just a man. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
It really feels like a big-time radio show.
Torcher and Rich.
Are you listening out there?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Torcher and Rich.
Hey, guys. We are the Torcher and Rich radio program. Rich, what happened?
When the sports are slow, the ESPYs get cranked up, Fred.
LeBron James, he hosted this award show back in 2007 after losing in the NBA Finals. So, yes, you guessed it. This feels better. This feels better.
Oh, Steph Curry, you got jokes and the internet exploded. Damn, came right out of the box going at LeBron. Oh, how can you be so vicious? Well, the ESPYs, which really haven't been the same since they told Norm Macdonald he could never host again, they showed up on ABC last night where we all learned that Aaron Rodgers was indeed the best NFL player. Eileen Gu was the best skier. And despite a cool suit, Russell Wilson still looks like a giant nerd. But if, I mean, he's just the most awkward man on stage.
Did you see his tweet yesterday?
Oh, did you see that? John, read it. Because it was, because I did see it. And I don't know who retweeted it, but.
I don't have it here in front of me. But the gist of it is when I tweet you and it says a phone.
It says when I text you and it has a phone emoji. It means I'm dialed in.
Ow!
I don't know anybody who tries more to be cool but come across nerdier than Russell Wilson.
Somebody must have told him by now, and he thinks he can ride the wave. I don't understand. I don't understand it.
Because imagine being on the other side of that text, and you just see like a phone. I'm like, whoa, Russell's ready to go. He must mean business. I got the phone emoji. Woo! Let's
That's
go,
the guy.
Russ.
I have to hang out with him because next to him, I'm going to look like Fonzie. Seriously.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's right.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Unlimited.
Yes, you are.
But if Steph Curry is telling the jokes, you know, the Celtics might get a rib or two jibbed.
Proud husband of Aisha Curry, proud son of Del Curry, proud daddy of the Boston Celtics.
Oh, snap! As they say on the streets and Nickelodeon. But then after that, Fred, he went there. Oh, yeah, he did.
Grant Williams, I see you in the building. It's great to see you again, my man. Hey, I know you like this color. I'll let you borrow it after I'm done. But I might even let you wear a ring.
Now, if you're Grant Williams, what are you doing with a seat close enough to the front of the stage for Steph Curry to see you at the ESPYs?
Some weird, like, he must have just shown up and, like, just gone, like, blah, 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 and they probably just were like, all right, shut up, just to go sit down.
Like, seriously, was there a LARPing category he was nominated for? I mean, honestly, like, first of all, massive win for Grant Williams. Good for you. Like, being, like, enough of a name that you were actually mentioned in the monologue of the ESPYs.
Well, he's the only Celtic who showed up. That's what
I'm thinking. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but no Celtics had to show up. It's not like they were nominated for anything.
They probably asked for a Celtic to show up so he could make fun of them. That's probably exactly what it was. They're like, you know, hey, he wants to tell a joke. Like, will you show up?
All right. Well, still a win for Grant Williams.
No,
that's crazy.
Yes, I mean, for a big dork.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty
massive.
He's
not very good.
Yeah, I saw this, like, whoa, we're getting a Grant Williams joke? What's he doing? Grant Williams was like, hey, I see you too, Steph. How you doing there, Steph?
Yeah.
And then he throws, like, a fairly lame joke out there. I mean, there's million different things you could have said about Grant Williams.
Oh,
that
sure
was
you could. You could go, you look like you take big, big poos.
Matter of fact, that was actually in the script, and then somebody just scratched it out. Said, no, too categorical for ABC. I got to be honest. About 3 years ago, I stopped watching the ESPYs. I used to watch it, even when people thought it was bad or whatever like that. I would still watch it. And the reason is because it became super depressing. Like, it's one thing to, like, have an award show and in the middle have this super serious segment about someone, you know, who is, you know, sick and a tribute to the spirit. Those stories are important. And to be quite honest, I hope they never stop telling them. But the ESPYs must have gotten such a huge pop from the first couple times they did it. They have gone full overload on those heavy segments. So we're talking now they have about 4 to 5 15-minute-long segments of these sad or depressing stories that, to be quite honest, in one sitting, it's way too much. And at some point, you're just like, well, I'm getting beaten down now. And it also does the disservice to the stories that they're telling by lumping them all together, because I think there's a lot of people like me who maybe the first one are like, wow, this is a crazy story. Whoa, this is unbelievable. And then by the second or third one, you're like, man, I can't take this. I just want to eat my chips and watch TV tonight. This is a lot to handle in one evening.
Yeah, I know. And Fred, they've started the My Wishes this week. They're rolling them out one after another. And they're fascinating to watch, you know, the fight against the disease or whatever, cancer, whatever this child is facing. It's fascinating that child is able to smile through it and still be happy with life and enjoy it.
These are great stories.
But by the time you get to Thursday or Friday of this week, it's a beating.
But at least they spread that out. I'm talking about in one award show, they have put 4 to 5 massive, like, really heavy segments.
Well, it lends itself to comedy. So if you're a comedian, what you really want to do is follow a 15-minute thing about cancer.
Yeah.
And then you can stand up there and make with the yucks.
Yeah.
First of all, you'll have the attention of the audience. Anyone knows the best. A lot of comedians, in fact, use that as an opener. They'll go like the facts about cancer, and they'll do that for 20 minutes, and then they'll go, "Ladies and gentlemen, Henny Youngman." And then he gets up on stage and he goes, "Hey, take my wife, please." And everyone's like, "We're all going to die." Well, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being like having to do a poorly written routine anyway? And you got to get up there and do it after they've discussed at length like a kid with leukemia?
I mean, usually what they do is they go to commercial break. And when they come
whatever,
back,
Rich. Whatever. If you don't understand what I'm saying, you're being disingenuous.
No, I know what you mean, but I mean,
you just said it's too much. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that the balance is that it's a terrible lead, and it brings a room down. Mm-hmm. And then they try to do something funny.
Yeah.
That's not particularly funny in the first place. But I mean, they did them no favors by doing a 15-minute segment with a sad piano about something horrible that's happening. And then they go, "Ladies and gentlemen, from Saturday Night Live," and you got to be like, "Oh my God! Like, what the hell is going on here?"
Someone said Williams was there as a seat filler.
He was outside.
Hey, you need someone?
I wouldn't want to sit in that seat after him. Can you imagine the heat on that thing?
Just the Mountain Dew farts. just that LARPing farts. He's running around LARPing, eating Mountain Dew Code Red.
That would be awesome if he had dressed like a wizard. If he had dressed like a wizard.
It would be great.
If he really would have like played into it. If he was like, "Yes, Mr. Curry."
All right, Mike, I want you to do me a favor. And you don't have to work too hard doing this. I want you to try to find the most scathing joke that Steph Curry told last night, because when he did that LeBron one that we played, it was like, matter of fact, Yahoo Sports is like, "Steph Curry goes viral, coming right at LeBron James." I'm like, that is not even like a biting joke. It's not even anything borderline scathing. It's just, here's a fact. Like, he lost the year that he did that, and I won. It's like, okay, well, I mean, that's kind of, you can look at the history books and see that. There's no real joke there. And the Grant Williams one and the Celtics, I don't know. I want you to find the most biting joke that Steph Curry told last night and let me know if it's any good. Because every once in a while you get a surprise. Like, okay, a professional joke writer wrote a pretty good one, and he delivered it well, and it came across the way it did. Speaking of Grant Williams, he found the only other player in the NBA who seems as dorky as he is to do a podcast with. And that is Duncan Robinson, otherwise known as Jeff Howe's doppelganger from the Miami Heat. And yes, Duncan Robinson does have a podcast, believe it or not.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe it either when I saw this.
All right,
really?
They realize that they're screwing each other over? Like, just that who's going to go? You know what? Out of all there, so you go to look at podcasts, and there's, what, a million? Literally a million of them.
Yeah.
And then so you sort through them, and you go, Duncan Robinson at one point was a pretty good 3-point shooter. Let's hear what this kid's got to say. I mean,
wait a second.
He's got Grant Williams on?
Wow.
Subscribe.
It's a podcast with those two guys called Slam Dorks. They should do it, market it, and just be all about nothing about basketball, but all about rolling the bones.
Probably get a lot of listeners, I'm telling you. Packaging is everything when you're trying to promote your podcast.
At least you have an angle. If you're Duncan Robinson talking basketball, every basketball player's got a podcast. Why would you choose Duncan Robinson on anything?
I mean, these guys just are trampling the grass. Like, there's no room to breathe. Like everybody on the planet that can afford equipment has got a podcast. All right. So let's break and let the audience really prepare themselves for the big Duncan Robinson, Grant Williams interview. I mean, is it even worth buying the equipment if you're Duncan Robinson?
They're just talking into their iPhone.
No. He obviously bought equipment and is investing time in this as if this is going to be like an outlet for him, and like he's going to, like, this is going to turn into something, and it's just not. It's just Duncan Robinson's podcast is never going to be anything. Just all these podcasts, it's just, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, people listen to audio, and like there's so many choices that they're gonna pick the Duncan Robinson podcast.
Everyone saw. You see, JJ Redick actually made the jump. You know, JJ Redick. I think his podcast is called The Old Man and the Three.
Yeah,
well, Duncan Robinson looks at that. Duncan Robinson looks at that and goes, "Oh, okay, he did it, so I can do it."
JJ Redick's famous. Has been famous for 20 some odd years.
I agree.
All right.
I agree.
All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Dare think that we think we're superstars.
No.
We get kicked in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And Rich, you said the new hit podcast is the Duncan Robinson Show.
Mm-hmm.
And he had on another superstar, fresh off the ESPYs, Grant Williams.
He did. And I just to kind of get a little taste of what's going on, I wanted to just listen to the first couple of minutes of one of his podcasts. And, man, just audio Valium, this guy. He is a personality through the roof.
Yeah.
Snoozerific. I mean, his voice was very... I mean, maybe if you're into ASMR, you know, when it involves... You know, kind of awkward NBA players, but there is, it's called The Long Shot with Duncan Robinson. And I want to see where it's ranked. It's 75 episodes he's got. But wow. He did sit down with 75. One, he talks to his mom, which is great. I didn't get to hear the sponsor, but I'm assuming it's probably someone like Hellman's. But I was listening to the beginning of it, this Grant Williams one, and he's like, well, you knew when Grant Williams showed up to the podcast with several bottles of wine that this was going to be a crazy conversation. And boy, it sure was. So let's get to Grant Williams. I mean, it is like really, really, it's delicious dish, the Saturday Night Live skit with Grant Williams. Let's take a listen. Here he is talking about, whatever Grant Williams wants to talk about. Oh, I have her here.
Like, I still will say confidently to this day, they weren't the better team.
Golden State was not the better team.
Yeah, I would say that confidently. I would say they were a more disciplined team. I would say that without a doubt. Like, their discipline and also their, I guess, their history of being in the finals.
Championship pedigree,
that was real. And I feel like at times, when you go back and watch the film, like, we had commanding, like, either leads or had opportunities. We went on runs, and next thing you know, we just, like, turned it over three times because we missed three shots. Because instead of making the right read, because we missed those shots, we started forcing things. And just stuff like that, the discipline of just making the right play over and over and over again. We didn't play with. Well, they play the same no matter what. They're going to get the same shots. They're going to create the same looks. They know who the priorities are. They're going to play with pace. They had a great spacing. Like, even us, we weren't disciplined enough spacing the floor. That stuff. Less so the fact that they were.
His phone keeps going off.
Steph is phenomenal. Steph is the best point guard ever, honestly, playing against this man. Like, he is unreal. I've never played anybody like him. When I look down a line, or even just comparing the teams, or even just, like, what we felt in the court, you should have heard how that was.
Who's calling Grant Williams?
They were, like, screaming, because they knew they weren't supposed to win that. Stuff like that, where it's like, we just were confidence-wise, we knew the overconfidence side of things kind of got to us. Like,
that is just the most boring thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know. It really is. Just...
You missed the Square Pegs theme. That would have been the closure.
Square Pegs theme.
I was never quite right.
I mean, it is. We might need to explore the Duncan Robinson podcast some more.
Gosh.
Like, if this is the guy that everyone's the interview that everyone's talking about of the 75 ones, then woo, hold on to your hats.
Well, they had a couple bottles of wine and really cut loose.
It got crazy. I mean, I would hate to see idea when he brought, like, you know, some whiskey or something like that. Well, the Celtics, it is kind of interesting because there was a story that came out yesterday that with all of the off-season moves, the Celtics have now moved to the top of the board in Vegas with the odds to win the championship. They are at plus 500. And, of course, many people saying the additions of Malcolm Brogdon, Danilo Gallinari, they put him up there. And then the Bucks are now at number two at plus $550. The Warriors, they're in number three at plus $650. And this is all obviously under the consideration that nobody knows where Kevin Durant, if Kevin Durant's going anywhere. It sure sounds like, and it seems like, he's going to stay put. Did you hear that? I might have been Kendrick Perkins who had this conspiracy theory that the whole reason that Kevin Durant was trying to fire his way off the team was just to get Kyrie Irving off of the team. Like, what was the logic in that? Because I read that a few times, and you know, I like Kendrick Perkins, and Kendrick Perkins usually has some pretty good points, but that one didn't make any sense to me. Like, how does that work? Like, how can Kevin Durant saying he wants off the team, how would that move Kyrie Irving off
unless
of the team.
He said I went off the team unless you move Kyrie Irving.
But that wasn't his point, but you're right. No. I mean, yeah, his
that's
point
the only was, way that works. That conspiracy theory doesn't work any other way.
Yeah, I couldn't quite figure it out. The Clippers are after the Warriors. They're at plus 700. I just think that Clippers team is guys who are fat and happy and don't want to play. You know what I mean? I think that Kawhi right now is a guy that it doesn't matter as much anymore to him. And I know that, you know, there's been so many injuries amongst that team as
he's
well.
He's playing with his buddy, too. He's already won his championship. He's playing with his buddy that he, you know, held the Clippers hostage to go trade and get. So he got what he wanted. He's in L.A. You know, the pressure isn't nearly as great as if you're playing on the Lakers. You have a head coach in Tyronn Lue that pretty much lets you do whatever you want. So he's making millions, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, what is there exactly to fight for at this point?
The Suns are next at plus 900. And what I do find interesting is that you had all this news yesterday that James Harden had taken one for the team. And he came out with a statement saying, you know, listen, I'll take less money to do whatever it is to get great players among us. And then you look at how much he got. It was like $35 million like next year and then $39 million the year after that. It's like, wow, he truly is taking a pauper salary in order to get this talent around him. I mean, and I love it, too. It's not like anyone was going to give him like this like 5-year extent. This was basically what the best he could get. There's no way he was going to get more than this from anybody else after the way that they've seen he's performed as of late. So I mean, I just love how he tried to paint it as if, yeah, I'm a team guy and I'm doing this for the team because I want to put some good players around me. Wow, maybe you'll get Kelly Olynyk with the chump change that you saved. Maybe you could make some sort of big move for
that. And did you see the one thing we didn't play from the Duncan Robinson podcast with Grant Williams is that
there's more.
There's more. He said in order to get himself psyched up for Game 7 against Milwaukee, remember he hit all those threes and scored 27 points and was one of the big reasons they beat the Bucks to go to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. You know whose tape he watched? Kelly Olynyk.
I mean,
watched Kelly Olynyk play basketball and that psyched him up. Because he watched Kelly Olynyk's game against the Washington Wizards we talked about a couple of days ago. That pumped him up to the point where he was able, his exact words were, I had to channel Kelly that night. That's nugget just, him information on the podcast. Can't believe he didn't play that.
A trilogy of dorks. That is two dorks talking about a dork.
Yep.
Yep. All right, we might have to pull that sound clip later on. So dorky, yeah. It's great. The guy who's not a dork, a guy who's definitely a hunk, that would be Jimmy Garoppolo. And the 49ers have given Garoppolo's agents permission to seek a trade as if they haven't already been working every connection in order to facilitate this. Anyway, I love how now at least it's public. So what teams right now are in the position to want to make a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? The only obvious one that I can think of right away is a team in their own division, is Seattle. And that rumor has been there for a while. And I don't know if the 49ers would be willing to make a trade in their division. I guess it just depends on how much
they would
give up.
This is one of those deals where San Francisco knows they can get something for Garoppolo. And if they face him, they know they can beat him. It's kind of like when Drew Bledsoe went from the Patriots to the Bills, when Bill Belichick had Tom Brady. There was that one big loss at the beginning of the season. They went on and won the Super Bowl anyway. I think San Francisco would deal him to Seattle if the price is right. Absolutely.
What other teams are out there? I mean, maybe the Giants, that's a name that I've seen thrown out there as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Texans.
Falcons.
The Falcons didn't draft a quarterback this year, did they?
I don't know.
I don't know if they did.
Pitts, they did. Oh, Desmond Ridder. Okay.
Oh, that's right. They just signed him. That's right.
Yeah. But does it seem like that they're gonna want to play him immediately?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're certainly not winning anything.
It just
right.
Oh, is Mariota the guy now in Atlanta? Boy, everything's moved around in the AFC South so much.
Seattle's got the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. It's Geno Smith. It's a choice between Geno Smith and someone else. And
is it Locker? I forget who it is.
It's the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. Yeah.
Seattle needs a quarterback. It's obvious San Francisco could trade him there. They can get a high draft pick, and they can beat up on Jimmy Garoppolo for as long as he's there. I mean, they know Jimmy Garoppolo isn't going to, you know, single-handedly beat them in any way, shape, or form. And Seattle doesn't have the players around Garoppolo. Well, they do have some wide receiver help, but I honestly don't think Garoppolo's good enough to beat San Francisco.
And it just depends if Houston wants to roll with Davis Mills, or if they feel like they want to bring in a veteran quarterback. If I was Houston, I wouldn't. I'd ride with Davis Mills.
Oh, hell yeah. Davis Mills was pretty good last year.
It's hard to tell.
Potential.
But I would use him this year, and, you know, this is going to be a good quarterback draft, apparently. We'll see. But it's supposed to be a good quarterback draft, so just ride with Davis Mills. You're not winning the Super Bowl anyway, and then if he doesn't work out, go take one in the first round.
What if the Bears don't feel confident about Justin Fields? That's another one that's kind of interesting.
That team is an unmitigated disaster. If I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I really don't want to go to Chicago.
I know this seems like – I know. I'm sure you're right. But you know what seems like – it's already in shambles, and what they've done at the quarterback position just seems like a total mess. But, I mean, if Cleveland can swing it, they might need somebody for a huge chunk of this season. If Deshaun Watson is out for, I know that report came out yesterday, John, that they're expecting 8 games. So at least half of this season, you're not going to have Deshaun
Watson.
They
can't afford both of them. I mean, maybe this year.
I've read some stuff that says that they can, like, there's ways that they can manipulate to make it happen. But if it's only 8 games, you wouldn't do it. If it's a season, that's something you would absolutely have to consider.
Yeah,
then
pro football.
You'd still be playing Garoppolo in the years to come to be your backup and be paying him a lot.
What does he have left? He's only got like a year left, right?
What does he have left there, Johnny boy?
Checking as we speak.
All right. I thought it was just a year.
It's 1 year. But how much are you giving up for 1 year of Garoppolo? You would think that if a team trades for Garoppolo, they'd want to re-sign him. You'd think that because you're going to have to give something up for him, because the 49ers seem content to keep him.
Yeah. He's being paid $24 million this year, and he's a free agent this summer. Next summer.
You give up a second-round pick to have 1 year of Jimmy Garoppolo?
No. No, half a year. I mean, Pro Football Talk's been out in front on this. They originally said, you know, they think the suspension is going to be somewhere between 2 and 8 games because the NFL doesn't want to get sued by Deshaun Watson if they hand him a year, but they want to make sure he pays some way, shape, or form. And then they came out yesterday and said it's probably going to be 8 games. And for half a season, I don't think they get sued. I think Watson goes away for half a year. And there's no reason for Cleveland to spend any kind of major draft capital to get Garoppolo in there for 8 games, halfway through of which he'll probably get hurt again.
Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill is a bum. Listen, I like Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he gets slighted a lot.
He's not better than Tannehill.
But he's not better than Tannehill.
No.
Tannehill's a better option. And as I said, I'm a Garoppolo fan. I think he gets crapped on a little too much, but Tannehill's good. Tannehill's a good quarterback. He just chokes in important situations, which we've seen.
Tannehill is Garoppolo, a better version of him. I mean, he can't light anybody up.
All right.
I think he's the same.
Not as athletic. All right. We will be right back. Bert Breer will be joining us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.